Pastor Lance looks good today, y'all. I like that new sweater, champion. Looks like Captain Kirk, doesn't he? God in the ship. Guys, my name is Richard. I serve as one of the pastors here at Bethel Community Church. How you guys doing? Wow, yep, that sounded nice. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Well, guys, it feels like I have not been here in forever. I have been missed the last two Sunday services, and I have missed you guys. I told our men's group on Saturday that I just feel like I've missed family, and the same feeling is here on Sunday morning. Not being in church for a couple of weeks, it just makes you feel like, what have I done to myself? But I just wanted to catch you guys up. But before we do that, if you could open up your Bible or your phone, if you've got the a Bible on your phone, I love the Holy Bible app. You can basically use any translation. If you're driving down the road, it'll read to you. We're going to be in Psalm, the book of Psalms, 147. And we're going to have only a few different areas of the Bible we're going to look at today. We're going to also look at Luke chapter 7, and I'll reference Luke chapter 10 as well. But I just wanted to start off with this verse of Scripture. We're going to be talking about a message today called Broken But Not Forgotten. Broken but not forgotten. In Psalm 147, verse 3, it says, he heals. I'm in the New King James Version of the Bible. You can use any version you want, but when I grew up, I had the King James, and I didn't understand it, so I figured the New King James must be better, and it is, so I use that one. So it says, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. We're going to reference that about being broken today and how God has not forgotten us, even in our broken state. Over the last 2 weeks, I've traveled thousands and thousands of miles. I went to the island nation of Haiti, which was amazing. If you've never been to Haiti, we are planning a Haiti mission trip next year. Anybody want to go? Y'all, y'all ain't going. Y'all know that. I would love it if we could take a big trip. We're in talks, Pastor Lance, about a medical mission trip. It will be next year, most likely in May. So I'd love to have you guys go. We go to support an organization called Mission of Grace. Many of you guys know Adrian, our long-term missionary who's there, who's been there for years, literally years. We have several connections there now, but one of the things that that we have going on there is this Mission of Grace organization. They have orphanages. They have boys' home, girls' home for teenagers that don't have parents. They have at the orphanage around 60 kids that are at that orphanage. They also have a medical clinic there. They have a soup kitchen. They are in a village of a few thousand. And so this organization is the predominant organization that gives life to that village. They have a school there. And if you know anything about third world countries, they don't have the infrastructure to send everyone to public school like we do. So this organization, through the sponsorships of givers, allow kids from that village to get an education. They also have a church there as well. And while I'm there, one of the great privileges I have is to do pastoral care with the long-term missionaries. These are people most likely from the States who have believed God has called them to this nation, to this organization, to be there for literally years to serve this people, to serve that organization, and would love to take you guys there throughout the course of next year. And one of the great privileges that I have has been going there is seeing the orphanage. I don't know if you guys have ever been to an orphanage. I want to throw this picture up on the screen of me hanging out with some of the kids from the orphanage. And it's just amazing because, you know, these kids, they don't have a mom or dad to take care of them. So it's literally nannies that are paid staff that help them change their diaper and change their clothes. And there's only so much they can do with 60 kids. They don't have 60 nannies. So when you see an orphan and you get to hang out, you're loving on that orphan. We're speaking life and blessing. Protect his life. Give him a mom or dad. Lord, be that mom, that dad that he doesn't have or she doesn't have. And so It's not just going there and doing sightseeing. You are actually doing ministry. Actually, the Word of God says nothing's more near and dear to the heart of God than orphans and widows, those who don't have anyone to take care of them. So it's a blessing to be there. I'd love to have you guys with us. Also, I wanted to point to your attention this book. It's called All Things Possible. The founder of the organization, Miss Lynn, I had a lot of opportunity to talk to Miss Lynn while I was gone. She wrote this book. And if you're interested at all in missions or Haiti, or even if right now you'd say, I don't know if I would be interested in that, I would just beg you to get the book and read it. It talks all about how the mission was started right before the great earthquake about 10 years ago. Right before that, there were landslides and really devastated this particular village. And it tells you all about their story. And when you go to Haiti, you'll meet these people. They're still alive. This is not a fictional book. It's not a book that's written about people in a far, far, far away place. No, Haiti is 2 hours from Miami. So this is very, very close to us. So I'd love to have you guys there. So I went to Haiti for a week. Also went down to Birmingham, Alabama. Come on, Birmingham. Anybody like Alabama? Yeah. They're like, yeah, no. Go, Bama. Go, Bama. Go. Somebody said, no Tide. You know, interesting thing. I got to go to Alabama with my friend Pierre. Let's throw that picture on the screen of these three guys. And I got a chance to ride with Juan. And on the way down to Alabama, I haven't been that far south and that deep in Alabama. We say deep in Alabama. But I had not been that far deep in Alabama in a long time. And I started to notice some things driving from Clarksville to Birmingham, Alabama. We passed through, and I'm a Tennessean. I grew up in West Tennessee, very rural Tennessee. And I just knew growing up, Pastor Lance, there were certain places you don't go. And one of those, we drove past on 65 South, and I saw the signs for the exit said Pulaski, Tennessee. Now, for some of you guys, this may not mean much, but I look through the world with different lenses. And I know from history that Pulaski, Tennessee is the birthplace of the Ku Klux Klan. So I'm like, Lord, don't let me run out of gas. Not here. Me and Juan, oh no, Lord. I have to trip Juan and let him get him. Sorry, Juan. But we drove by, and when we passed the Alabama state line, I told Juan, I said, Juan, I can just smell the racist history of Alabama. And he's like, you are dumb. But there's such a rich history. It is completely strategic from the hand of God while we are planting a church with DNA that looks like this in Birmingham, Alabama. And it was a blessing to be there. When we pulled up, we pulled up to this apartment complex, and Juan said, where's the church at? There ain't no church. The church is the few folk that they have gathered together. Pastor David and their team and several people from this church who felt the call of God to move down, move everything, and uproot and move down to Birmingham, Alabama. So they have a total of about 15 people that meet weekly. These are people they met at the coffee shop, at the restaurant, at the apartment complex, and they are grassroots. This is how, as a matter of fact, this is how the church was started. So I just want to ask you guys a quick question. Anybody got a heart to want to pray for this church plant or maybe even visit it? Come on up here, girl. Stay right there. I got that for you. Bam. Good throw. What's that? There you go. We gave her a High Point church shirt. And I gave you that because when you see that shirt, when you wear it, I want you to remember to be praying for that, for Pastor David Fisher. His family's here, by the way. Thank you. Thank you guys for being here. Thank you guys for sowing your son to the world to go down there. It's a hard thing. Keep him, his family, all of them in your prayers as they begin to do what God has called them to do. So we're going to be talking today about broken but not forgotten. You know, when I was down in Haiti, it's interesting that this idea of brokenness has no boundaries. Now, you would probably think in third world countries, there's lots of brokenness. Government's broken. It's broken here too, by the way. But the systems are broken. Everything's broken down there. Well, you know what? There's brokenness in Birmingham, Alabama. There's brokenness in Clarksville, Tennessee. And you probably don't have to turn too far down your row to find some more brokenness. You know, when we talk about this brokenness, it means that there's something that's just not right, something that's missing. It may have been wholeness at one point, but something has happened to you, or something happened by you or to you, and it's caused brokenness. It could be a physical brokenness. Maybe your body is not right. There's something wrong with your physical body, and it's broken to some degree. Maybe it's spiritually there's something that's broken. Maybe in your heart there's something, or in your soul, that's just not right. You know, I really want to encourage you today, and it's my prayer. You might get quiet today a little bit, or you might get a little excited about where we end up in this message today, but I want you to know that this is designed from the hand of God to encourage you today, to realize, number one, you are not alone. God sees you. He's with you. And the state that you're in right now is completely reversible. It's completely changeable. And God is the author of all things, and He can change whatever brokenness is going on in your life right now. Can someone say amen? Amen. You know, even in Clarksville, there is lots and lots of brokenness. Lots and lots of brokenness. You know, there's people that and I have met in this community, and their brokenness is not as obvious as some. All of you guys look good, but how do you know, like, cracks in your foundation aren't easily seen? Sometimes you got to go down to the basement or the crawl space to see where the foundation problems really lie. But on the surface, on the front, you can't see anything wrong. You got the hardy side, and you got the brick veneer. It looks all good. And people say that's a beautiful house that could be literally crumbling from the inside. And there are people's lives that are exactly like that. Some of you guys are going to cry today. Some of you guys are going to be like, God is speaking to me today. Don't run from it. Don't hide from it. Just know that the Spirit of the living God is here. The Bible says where two or more are gathered, He is in this place. There are some people that are broken in Clarksville. There's people that I live close to in different areas of town. And there's apartment complexes. They're going to be built close to some of these neighborhoods. And the neighbors are getting all mad. And what's sad is there's some Christians. And this should never, never be in the vernacular. Never be a phrase that a Christian says. Not in my backyard. See, I got very familiar with that phrase when I was in college. I took a sociology class, and we learned about this. This is the idea that certain things are useful in society. Lower economic housing is useful in society. Prisons are useful in society, but not in my backyard. So these people who live in certain neighborhoods, they know that their property value may go down. They have fears that crime may go up. And the sad thing is when our worldview looks more like the world than through the lens of the Bible. And there are Christians, and I wanted to warn you not to have that kind of mentality. Because what happens is people that have that kind of mentality, they'd say, I don't want black people to live that close to me. I don't want Hispanic people to live that close to me, because they may bring in a certain element that might be undesirable for my children. They might mess up our schools. And it's 2018. They may say, I don't want Korean people to live that close. I don't want Filipino people. I don't want white people to move that. I don't want people from the ghetto. I don't want poor people living in my backyard. You know, my hope is that God would change that, because that is a broken mentality. My hope is that believers all around this church would say, welcome to my backyard. Welcome to my backyard. I might lose 2% of my property value, but welcome to my backyard. God might be into that. Somebody say amen. You know, in that brokenness, it's not just in our world. It's all through the Bible. If you look at Luke chapter 10, there was a man who was walking down this road called the Jericho Road. And as he was walking on the road, the Bible says he fell among thieves. And they beat the man up, left him near for dead on the side of the road. Now, the interesting thing about this is this man needed help. His body was broken. Couldn't help himself. but he was not forgotten. Now, you would think when the pastor walked down the street, he would see this man and help him, but he didn't. You think when the priest walked down the road that he didn't. See, the normal things that you think God is going to send to rescue you aren't always what God will use to rescue you. Sometimes God will not send the pastor or the priest. Maybe the chiropractor can't fix what's broken in you, or the doctor can't fix what's broken in you. Maybe the boyfriend or the girlfriend with their smooth ways, oh, they can't help you. Maybe the hot yoga can't fix what's wrong. Maybe the goat yoga can't fix what's wrong. Pastor Lance, we need to do a live video of us. I'll hold the camera while you have goat yoga all over you. That's gross. Maybe the bartender can't help you. Maybe the late night phone call to that significant other to come over. There's a word for that, but I won't say it. Maybe that won't fix what's wrong. Sometimes God will send different ways and different means to get your attention and to get your help. And God sent a Samaritan. I just want you to know, you may be completely broken, but you are not forgotten today. You know, my body was broken. I just came back from Haiti, and Doc reminded me that, good, you didn't have a heart attack this time. I was like, thanks, Doc. Appreciate that. And about a year or so ago, I came back from Haiti, and literally the week after I came back, boom, massive heart attack. Body, that part of my body was broken, but I was not forgotten. Brody's body was broken. Alliteration. Thank you for knowing that. Brody's body was broken, but he was not forgotten. Amen. You know, when I went down to Haiti and I met some men, I want to show you this picture of these guys that I met. These were four gentlemen that I met while I was at the mission and spent a good majority of my time around them. The gentleman to the left, his name is Pastor Will. He's the pastor of an all-black Baptist church. You guys realize there's different, like there are whole denominations of black folk. There's whole denominations of white folk. That's why this is so special, right? Mm-hmm. Thank you, Pastor Lance. And the guy next to him, oh, just to tell you about Pastor Will, he had an amazing story. A couple of years ago, he had a massive stroke. And a lot like my dad, half his body was paralyzed and he couldn't talk. And through the grace, the mercy of God, he was rolling paint rollers and painting the orphanage. And it was just an amazing story. The guy next to him, his name is Eric Metcalf. And he had an amazing story. His wife died 1 month before he went to Haiti. I mean, fresh. And Pastor Will brought him and thought it might, you know, get his mind off things a little bit. The guy next to him, his name is Abel. And Abel is a cancer survivor. Amazing stories. The guy beside him, his name is Kit. And Kit was just a nice guy, but I'm glad he was there. And we were at the orphanage one day, and one of the nannies heard that the pastors were there and said she has breast cancer. And asked if we would pray. So we got all those guys around and we talked to this nanny and said, before we pray, I want you to hear something. And I told her how I had a heart attack and how he had a stroke and how he had cancer. And God came through and did not forget about us. And now think about this. God brought all of us thousands of miles just to remind you how good God is. And then we prayed. And I want to tell you the same thing. If God cares about some nanny in some orphanage in the middle of a third world country, don't you think he thinks just as much about you and your brokenness, what you're going through? He knows how hard you're going through a situation right now. He has not forgotten you. My hope is today is that those words would pierce not only through your ears, but get down into your heart, into your soul. God has not forgotten about you. He's not forgotten about you. You know, the interesting thing is, in church, we try to dress things up and we look good and y'all smell good and you probably took a bath sometime this week and thank God for that. But you know, all of us are broken to some degree. All of us have something that just ain't right. And I know that's not grammatically correct, but it sounds so good when I say that. Something is wrong with all of us to a certain degree. We know that we are jacked up from the floor up. That's what puts us all together. The least common denominator, there's a couple of them. One is we're all seeking Jesus, or we should be. And the other one is we're all broken. That means we should never look down on anybody else. Can somebody say amen? But I want to tell you about a story in the Bible. This is in Luke chapter 7. This is a story that should be very common to us, not because we've heard it or we memorize it, but because the person inside of this story is a lot like us. And I love how the Bible eliminates certain specific details so that we can imagine ourselves in that same situation. This is a day in the life of Jesus in Luke chapter 7, where a Pharisee invites Jesus to dinner. And in Luke chapter 7, verse 36, it says, "Then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. And he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner." That's an interesting way to be described in the Bible. We don't have her name. We don't know if she was a candlestick maker, a baker. We don't know what she was. All we know is she was a sinner. Any sinners in the house? What? Sinners like, whoa. Okay. When she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him, weeping. She was crying. And she began to wash his feet with her tears. Now, you just don't start crying like that for no reason. There's a reason why you cry like that. I don't know if any of you guys have ever cried like that, but in my life, there's been times and seasons where I would pray and I was going through so much. I prayed all I could pray, and then I ran out of words to pray, and all I had left were my tears. Anybody ever been there? In my house, sometimes I go to the closet. My wife's asleep, the kids are asleep, and the pressure and the weight of the world is too much. And I don't know what to do. I don't have all the answers, and I get down on my knees, and I lay what they call in the Bible, prostrate. It's like, you know, Superman, but on the ground. And I would begin to say, Jesus, being real with you. And I don't know what to say after that. And I just start crying. And the tears are coming down. They start running down your cheek and dripping off your face. And you don't know what else to do. This is that woman. She's broken. See, there's an interesting thing about sinners. All of us sin. Just to make sure I'm not pointing fingers. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All. There's something that's interesting about that, because not everybody who sins is broken. Some people will tolerate sin and never become broken. There's a difference between someone who will tolerate something and someone who is broken by something. I've known alcoholics who tolerate their alcoholism. They know they got a problem. And they become functional alcoholics. They say, I try to, and then I get the shakes and I drink and it goes away, so I'm going to be okay. But then there's those who are broken. Anybody seen somebody broken? There's a difference in someone who's broken. I will do whatever it takes. I don't care what I look like. I don't care how nasty I get. I don't care how broken I have to be. I just want to get free, whatever it takes. I don't care if I have to begin to tell the truth. I don't care if I have to go back and apologize to every person I've ever hurt. I just want to get free. There's a difference between being broken and tolerating. When we see this woman, all we see is that she is a sinner. She began to wash the feet with her tears, and she wiped them with the hair of her head. She kissed his feet and anointed them with fragrant oil. And when the Pharisees who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, "This man, if he was really a prophet, he would know in what manner of woman this is who is touching him." So it's interesting, the Pharisee knew about the woman. He had heard the gossip about her. If this happened in 2018, we would have saw the Facebook comments. We would have saw the Instagram story about this woman's life. We would know by going to the nail salon. We would know by talking to the neighborhood gossip or the church gossip. What's going on? What's going on? And it's like someone knew what was going on, but all we hear about is that she's a sinner. I want you to replace whatever that woman's sin actually was with your sin. What's the thing that's broken you down? What's the sin of choice that you have participated in, that has ruled you, that has owned you, that you can't seem to shake, you can't seem to quit? Maybe it's, and this is underground truth of church, we don't really focus on this, maybe it's unforgiveness that's been buried down way deep, and you look really good and you know all the Christianese things to say, but things like unforgiveness, maybe it's something overt, maybe it's pill popping. You pill popping and the doc gave it and that was cool and you needed it, but then you didn't need it, but you still pill popping and now you're addicted to that or porn or alcohol. Oh, it's quiet. But that don't happen in the church, so does it? All we know is she's a sinner. And Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. So he said, teacher, say it. He said, there was a certain creditor. Anybody got debt? So there was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii. Denarii is like a day's wages. So this is well over about a year and a half worth of debt of salary. And another had 50. And when they had nothing which to repay, he freely forgave them both. That's what forgiveness is. It's canceling debt. It says, tell me therefore, which of them loves more? And Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And he said to him, you have judged rightly. And then Jesus turned to this broken woman, the sinful yet broken woman. And he said to Simon, he said, do you see this woman? I want you to know Jesus sees you. He sees this woman. He said, I enter into your house and you gave me no water for my feet, but she's washed my feet with her tears, wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. There's a level of brokenness that transcended the surface. I don't know where you are in all that. I don't know what your life looks like. I don't know what level or depth of brokenness exists in your heart, in your soul, or in your body. But I do know this. God does not reject the humble. I know what the Bible says. It says he rejects the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. I've never seen anybody get set free from something that was proud. I've never seen anybody get set free that refused to acknowledge they had a problem. They even say in AA, the first step in getting free from alcohol is what? Admitting you have a problem. This woman not only understood that she had a problem, but her brokenness of that problem was evident. Therefore, Jesus said, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. And then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. We don't know what sins. A lot of times we put classification on sin. Ooh, they did that. Oh, they worse than me. No, whatever sin it was, you put your sin in that blank. Whatever that sin is, Jesus said, your sin is forgiven. And those who sat at the table began to say to themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Now go in peace. Now the big thing about this story is I often try to figure out, what did this woman do? How bad was it really? And I think the Bible gives us a little bit of grace and to interpret it by looking at our own lives. What is the thing in your life that should have broken you or has broken you? How did you respond to that brokenness? Did your brokenness lead you to something other than Jesus Christ? Something that could not sustain you or satisfy you. We don't know if this woman came from a rich family, a poor family. We don't know if she was a Gentile or a Jew. We don't know if she was from the city or the country down in Dover or in downtown Clarksville. We don't know. We don't know if she was educated or dumb as a box of rocks. We have no idea. All we know is that she is a sinner. And I wanted to tell you something you might want to write down today. Bring brokenness. A lot of people wonder, why did I go through this? Why am I experiencing this? Maybe your marriage is broken. Maybe your heart from a previous relationship is still in tatters. It's tattered up. Maybe your body is broken. Maybe there's brokenness in your family that you can't fix. You've tried all the tricks. You've read all the books, and it's still a hot mess. The brokenness that you were going through in your life, there is a purpose for it. Do you know there's a purpose for everything in the world that God made? And it's this: brokenness can bring you closer to Jesus. I just want to give you something that, three things that this woman realized that we need to realize today. She realized something that in her brokenness, without a name, only in her actions, will teach us something today that we can carry on for the rest of our lives. The first thing is we need to realize that we have a God who sees our brokenness. We have a God who's not blind. We have a God who can see us. Many of us think that our God is kind of like the greatest Harlem Globetrotter in the world. You know, the Harlem Globetrotters, they put the basketball on their finger and they spin it and they can just do all kinds of other stuff. We think God just put the world in motion and he just said, forget about them. They can do whatever they want to do. That is not the God of the Bible. Our God is intricately involved in our life. He cares about us. He can see the brokenness that you're going through right now. That should bring us comfort. Knowing that the brokenness, the loneliness that we have to walk through is seen by a holy God. It means you're not in it by yourself. Now, here's a weird thought, but some of the worst kind of loneliness is when you're lonely and nobody realizes that you're lonely. When we can go through life pretending to have it all together, pretending that nothing is wrong, to save face, to be that man, to be that woman, to pull up your bootstraps, to put on your big girl panties and muscle through. And all of it's a facade because on the inside, you're broken. You're broken. But the beauty of this is that God sees it. Do you know how close God sees you, how he looks at you? He knows everything about you. And just to remind you, the Bible says that God knows how many hairs are on your head. Now put your hand on your head just for a minute. If you got some hair. Now, if you don't have hair, brother, it's all right. He remembers how many used to be there. If you got plugs, he knows about them too. He knows how many. Did you know that the Bible says that you are the apple of his eye? The apple of his eye. Now, that sounds really cool, but we really have an idea what that means. Now, I love my wife. That's my woman on the front row. Ha ha! It's my woman. And we make lots of babies together. And there's times at night when I get close to my wife, I'm like, hey, girl. And she's in the apple of my eye. I have to get that close to her for all of me to be all of you. You remember that? Right? All of me to be in her eye. That's how close God wants to be to you. And he sees you. Don't ever forget that our God sees exactly what you're going through. And you are not alone. Everybody say it. You are not alone. I am not alone. I know it feels that way, whatever the struggle might be. No matter how the pain may be real, you are not walking through this alone. So the first thing is to realize, we need to realize that God sees our brokenness. Second thing is, we need to realize that we have a God who cares for our brokenness. So not only is he omnipotent, not only is he omnipresent, not only is he all-knowing, he's everywhere, not only can he see all of that that we're going through, he actually cares about it. So not only is he able, but he's willing. See, it's different from being able and being willing. See, if I get pulled over by the cops, which I don't, Pastor Lance, but if I did, he's able to tear up a ticket if I get it. He's able to let me get a warning, but he may not be willing. Our God, not only is he able, but he's willing. When he cares about you. The Bible says, cast all of your care on him because he cares for you. Now, this is a powerful realization that my God can see my problem and he cares about my problem. So number one, we have a God who sees our brokenness. Number two, we have a God who cares about our brokenness. And number three, we have a God who can heal our brokenness. Yeah, that was very weak amens. Did you know that our God is called the restorer of the breach? That means that things that are broken, whether in your body, in your life, in your family, in your heart, in your soul, that means that he can heal it. Some of you have pain in the heart so deep, we would cry all day if we heard your story. And some of you have said things like, I don't know if I will ever get past this. I am telling you right now, our God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can think or imagine. That's how big, how great our God is, and his love is for you. Not just all these folks on the other side of the road, not just for people in Haiti, not just for folks in Birmingham, but for you. So what is your brokenness? What are you going through that has held you down? It's kept you from a place of wholeness, that has kept your spirit down, maybe has kept you away from God. Maybe it's kept you from completely surrendering everything over to him. Because that one little thing, why did God allow that? For some of us, that's what it is. Why did God, why didn't he just, some of you said, why didn't God just take it away? Right now, there's people on Facebook and they're looking at this. And that's the same story for some of them. Why didn't God just make it better? I'm telling you an eternal truth. You can read it in the book of Job. You can read it all through the Old Testament. You can read it all through the New Testament. You can read it from the stories of lives in this room. Sometimes God will allow things to happen to draw you near. Bible says in the book of Psalms, he draws near to the brokenhearted. Some of you may have been thinking, well, if God really loved me, he would do this. And since he didn't do what I wanted him to do, since God didn't perform, he didn't act like I thought he would, in my understanding, he must not be who the Bible says. And I just want to tell you, that is a grave misunderstanding of how the God of the universe works. Our God is not a slot machine where we pump in prayers, get out results. Sometimes he may be trying to teach you something that you need to learn that you're not willing to learn on your own. So we have to go through certain seasons and find out where our hope really comes from. See, our hope comes from somewhere beyond what you can see. I just want you to stand up now. For some of you, you know, I've been talking to you throughout the course of this simple, short message. I don't want you to miss an opportunity. The woman who was crying her tears on the feet of Jesus, she got it. In that moment, she got it. All she knew was she needed to cling to Jesus, let go of everything else. There was no light between her and Jesus. The Bible says she did not stop kissing the feet of Jesus. That means that she didn't focus on what her circumstances were outside of her encounter with Jesus Christ. Maybe I'm talking to you. I may not be. Maybe it's been all in my head, but something tells me God is speaking to you. If I've been talking to you today, the Spirit of God has been talking to you. I want you to raise your hands today. You are not alone. You are definitely not alone. I just want to remind you of something. Keep your hands up just for a bit. Sometimes you need to be reminded of things. I have to tell my kids this when they do the wrong thing sometimes. There's nothing that you could ever do to make God love you any less. Sometimes I have to say it twice because sometimes they don't really get it. I'm going to tell you, this is what God is saying to you today. There's nothing that you could ever do that would ever make God love you any less. And you need to be reminded today, our God sees you. Our God, He cares for you. If you're hurting, you know what? It hurts Him too, because He loves you. No father would ignore the feelings of their child. He loves you. And did you know He can heal you? Did you know He can heal you? Nothing is impossible for God. And all things are possible to him who believes. So I just want to pray for you. In the name of Jesus, we invite you, Lord, to come. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come. Lavish your love on everyone who is in this moment like the woman crying at the feet of Jesus, recognizing that her brokenness is welcome. God, I pray that our eyes would not be fixed on whatever the circumstances. We have a God who can do all things. I just want to remind you of that. He can do anything. Nothing is too big for Him. While you're in this room, under your breath, you can talk to Him. Tell Him what your brokenness is. Tell Him what the source of it is. He knows it. He wants you to come to Him. Don't you think that woman who was crying at His feet, He knew before she came in the room what was wrong with her? He could have said, your sins are forgiven from wherever she was on the planet. But it was only when she came to Him. It's only when she humbled herself. When Jesus started to pay attention to her. Father, we thank you, Lord. We pray that every broken relationship, every broken heart, every broken soul, every broken body, we surrender that to you. Whether it's cancer, whether it's divorce, whether it's back issues, whether it's undiagnosable pain, whether it's a relationship, families that are torn at the seams, Lord, whatever is broken, we submit it to you. And as a testimony of your great strength, your great power, your great understanding, your great care, your great love, God, we ask and we invite you to come in the midst of it. Take up residence inside of it. Have your way with it. Do something with it greater than what we can do. Because we will mess it up, but you will make it better. You will make it into a thing that brings you glory. So we pray that whatever these circumstances are, God, they would become a place of glory to you. Yes. Jesus' name.